In Kanchen, we have the Bakasha, Na Patsifenu, Loli Day Matnas Vasa Vadam, Loli Day Haza Osam. I think we generally understand that Bakasha to be that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to spare us shame or humiliation, to have to ask, to have to beg, not to be reduced to the lowly status of an Oni HaMechazer Al HaTzofen. And in fact, that understanding is correct, but it doesn't exhaust the intention of that Bakasha. We've spoken in the past about the Rambam in Perek Beis Hilchos Deos, where the Rambam writes, based on a Gemara in Sota, that Kol HaMagvia Libo is Tafa Ve'ikra. And we discussed how the Rambam doesn't say it with a Chacha Dimyon, not Ki'ilu Tafa Ve'ikra, not tantamount to, but is rigorously equated with fear. How can that be? So we explained that the essence of Gaiva, of Gova Lev, is a sense of Kochi V'Otzim Yadi. A person has a sense of independence, a sense of autonomy, and that's why it's Magbi Alibo. That's why he's so impressed with his accomplishments, with his abilities, with his own status. All of that a person can only be impressed with. A person can only be Magbi Alibo if there's a sense of Kochi V'Otzim Yadi, a sense of independence, a sense of autonomy. And in fact, our very existence is totally and absolutely dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yesod ha-yesodos v'amad ha-chof mos leida shi'yesh sham motzi rishon mamtzi l'chol nimtza. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu every second wills our existence, and otherwise we wouldn't exist. Hence, for a person to be Magbi Alibo, to have this sense of Kofi Ve'otzim Yodi, is not tantamount to Kfira. The Rambam says it's actually Kfira. So, Nimtzeinu Lemedim, that a person of faith, it should be permanently embedded within his or her consciousness the absolute dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a concomitant. It's something which must accompany genuine emunah. In fact, Rabbeinu Bachya writes in Chavos Al Vavos, I believe in Shah HaBechina, that it's from the Chasai HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're created in such a way that it's easy for us to sense our vulnerability. And based upon this Rabbeinu Bachya, one should understand the Bracha of Asher Yotzer. Bracha of Asher Yotzer, at first glance, is a very strange Bracha. What's the occasion for the Shavach V'Hoda'ah? So the Bracha says, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't created us as He did, so then it's Iyasha v'Hizkayim v'Lama v'Fanacha afilu sho'achas. That's kind of strange, because once HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that He was going to create us, so doesn't that necessarily entail that He create us in a way that we can exist? In a way that's viable? So why is that some kind of distinct Shavach V'Hoda'ah? Asher Yotzer Asher Adam B'Chokhmah Uvar Uvar Nekovim Nekovim Chalulim Chalulim. So then Golev Yadua Shem Yipaseach O Yisosem So Iyav Shad Eskayim V'Lamod. Okay, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beretzono chose to create us, then, well, obviously He has to create us in a way that we're viable, that we can exist. So the answer is no, that what we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu here for, like Rabbeinu Bachya says, is that he created us in a way that's viable, but in a way that also is so easy for us to be acutely aware of our own vulnerability. There's always just the slightest thing is out of balance, the slightest blockage, Rachmana Litzlan, and then it's Yeshua, the Sky and the Lama, the Fanafa. So what we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for is precisely for having created us in a way that it's easy for us to sense that vulnerability, because, again, that feeling, that religious orientation and emotion is fundamental to any ma'amin. Now, a person is obligated to strive as best he can to feel and experience that dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Meaning that dependence, again, which we have, that absolute, total dependence, is one which, mitzidenu, we are supposed to strive as much as possible to feel that directly towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than through a human intermediary. My sense should be part of feeling that dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be a sense of independence from other people. Because the extent to which seemingly one is dependent upon other people, so that potentially can diminish his sense of the genuine and ultimate dependence upon the Ribono Shel Olam. The Avnei Nezer, in his famous tshuva as to why throughout the generations Gedolim lived in Chutz Laaretz and didn't go to Eretz Yisrael, so he explains that unless a person can support himself in Eretz Yisrael, so then he's not mekayim the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. To live in Eretz Yisrael, but to be supported from Chutz Laaretz, Avnei Nezer says, a person is not mekayim the mitzvah. And why is it? Because it's exactly this midah which he discusses. What's the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael? The midah of Eretz Yisrael is that direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That kaviyachol, as it were, the hashkocha in Eretz Yisrael is not through any star, but is direct. The very minute a person Panasa comes from Chutz Laaretz, so that's exactly what we're saying. The very minute a person becomes dependent upon other people, so that interferes with, that compromises what Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be, which is that direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly, again, the same midah that we're talking about in terms of an independence from people. So that's the need of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nezer explains, and it's for that reason that a person is not mekayim the mitzvah if in Eretz Yisrael he's dependent upon Chutz Laaretz. And this same idea certainly is suggested by the Gemara's din in Bavim Metzio and elsewhere of Avodayhem, Velo Avodim La'Avodim, that to the extent that there's an old Vos of Adam that we bear, so that potentially, again, interferes with our sense of the only real and ultimate all of Malchus Shamayim. The same idea of Ozen Shoshana Vahasinai Avodahem Vahalach V'Kana Adam Atzma. And L'chora, In this way, we should also understand the pasuk in Mishlei of Sonei Matanos Yechia. Again, Sonei Matanos Yechia should also be understood in this light, that a person should want to experience that dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, not through any intermediary, not to be beholden, not to be the beneficiary of any person, but as much as the Ribono Shel Olam makes it possible for us, that we should experience that dependence directly. And that's the deeper pshat in the bakasha of Anal Tatsuchenu, lo l'idei matnas basav adam, but lo l'idei havasam. It's not simply that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu spare us the humiliation and the shame of having to ask Rachman al-Islam, of having to be Mechazah al-Hafsachim, but it's rather, let us experience that dependence that we have on you, let us experience that directly. Don't let it be clouded for us by having human intermediaries. Of course, when there are human intermediaries, again, ultimately, of course, the dependence is upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're just Shluchei HaMakom. But what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that what we have to strive for, and when the Rabbi writes in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim about how a person should do anything possible, La'olam Yitzchok Adam Atzmo, V'yizgalgel V'tzav, Al Yitzarek L'Zios, V'al Yashlech Atzmo HaTzibor, it's not only because he shouldn't be machted al HaTzibor, it's for that reason as well, but it's not only for that reason. Again, it's because it compromises by making himself dependent on Zios, it compromises his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we say, and how do you know that, again, that's certainly the Omek HaPshat in what we're asking for, is because we follow it up, Kim L'Yodcha Hamleya Hapsucha Hagdosha V'Ruchava. We should have just said, right? Because that's what we're asking, to be spared the humiliation. The answer is no, we're asking for much more than that. We're asking Ribono Shel Olam, let us experience you and our dependence upon you directly, and let it not be clouded by our having to have this sense of dependence upon human intermediaries. Bakosha of Na'al Tatsvichainu, this sense of dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this striving for dependence exclusively on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which implies independence from other people, is certainly in the Bechina of a Mitzvah Tmidus. We talk about it tonight, it's especially in Yon of the Yom for two reasons. Number one, this week, as all the Bnei Yeshiva are aware, marks the end of the Shloshim for the Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik L'Vrocha. And tomorrow night, in Yitzhak Hashem, there will be an Azkora, and that's the time for Milei Dehespeda. But it seemed only proper that the Midah we discuss tonight should have been one of the Midahs which he exemplified. After he suffered his stroke, a debilitating stroke from which he never recovered, which left him basically permanently disabled, the simplest things, such as walking, such as wrapping up his tefillin in the morning after davening, required superhuman effort. And he resisted until it became literally, physically impossible. In the very last years, he consistently resisted all helps, all offers of help. And what that represented was this striving to Na'al Tatsvichainu, Lo L'idei Matnas Basav Adam, V'Lo L'idei Halva'asam, Kim L'Yodcha Hamleya HaPsucha HaGdosha. even in something as small. I remember one morning going over to him in the Beis Medrash, and he was wrapping up his tefillin after davening. So try to do it sometime with one hand. Try to wrap up your tefillin with one hand. Try to do anything which we take for granted with the use of two healthy hands, we are in Hara. Baruch Hashem, try to do it with only one good hand. So I asked, maybe I can wrap up the tefillin. And he adamantly declined and said, no, I have to train myself to do it. And as long as it takes, I have to do it. And again, it was that tchusha of that we have to strive, that our dependence should be directly on the Rizal Shalom, and that we shouldn't allow it to be clouded by a sense of dependence upon other people. The other reason this Midah seems to be especially Me'inyan HaDiyoma American society was traumatized by the events of September 11th. If you try to pinpoint exactly what that trauma consists of, so I remember that night in the neighborhood where I live, I was walking home from 9:15, 9:20 in the evening, and I was a person, I don't know, I assume he must live somewhere in the general neighborhood. He was out, he was walking his dog, so knocking the shoulder, good evening. And then he says, you know, I don't feel safe anymore. And that was the refrain that one heard and continues to hear. And what that reflected was that prior to September 11th, people, and if only one could say, well, this is true of the secular world, that it wasn't true, then I'm Shai Shomayna, if only one could say it. I'm not sure one can. People had a sense of being totally, absolutely safe, secure, invulnerable, because you live in America. Things are totally safe, totally secure, and there's no vulnerability here. Eretz Yisrael is dangerous. Eretz Yisrael, there, one is very vulnerable. There, it's not safe, and maybe one shouldn't even be going there. You have to weigh many times, maybe one shouldn't even be going to Eretz Yisrael. And that was the prevalent sense. And then all of a sudden, that was totally punctured. That notion imploded when the planes exploded. But that notion was totally and fundamentally flawed to begin with. To be a ma'amin means that a person feels totally vulnerable. Now certainly there's much individual, collective cheshbon ha'nefesh to be made in the aftermath of September 11th. But that sense, that refrain, which one heard over and over again of no longer feeling safe, again, highlighted something which was very flawed within us to begin with, namely a misplaced sense of autonomous safety, security, and invulnerability. And that never existed. September 11th didn't change that. That never existed. To be human means to realize that every moment, lulei rachamecha Hashem, lulei chasodecha Hashem, lulei hashgachotcha Hashem, I asher lehitkayem v'lama lefanecha kilo sha'achar. That was true September 10th. It was as true September 10th as it was September 11th at night. It's just that we failed to realize that and to recognize that, and it certainly and the hesitations about going to Eretz Yisrael again, which were also misplaced, also reflected this flawed not just outlook but self perception as well, and it's certainly one which one has to meditate upon in the aftermath of those events.